cross, about the cross. So the title of my message is, what is more powerful than power? Now the key text for this sermon, as you know, is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 to verse 24. It says that the Jews had this characteristic, this request a sign. And the Greeks also had their own characteristics, and they request or seek after wisdom. But the scripture says that we preach Christ crucified. And to the Jews who had that mentality, it is a stumbling block. And for the Greek who seek foolishness, to seek wisdom, actually to them is foolishness. But to those who are called, for you and for me, Jews and Greek, he said Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now what does all this thing mean? Now as in the days of Paul, today the world in generally still marvels at Christ and the cross as the instrument of salvation. And they will be asking the same question as the Jews and the Greeks. And the Jews always ask and look for sign from Jesus to prove that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. But of course, the Jews also wanted to see Jesus performing miracles, a visible signs of God's power from heaven. While Jesus had been performing many signs, miracles, healing, and wonders, it has been largely confined to meeting the needs of the commoner and the outcasts. And so they wanted Jesus' miracles, signs, and wonders to be translated into political power. And because the Jewish establishment wanted to see the glory of Israel fully restored as in the days of King David. And they wanted Jesus to use that power to lead a political campaign to overthrow the Roman colonial master who ruled the world then. And the powerful Romans actually control a great empire that the world had ever seen then. And to the Jews, if Jesus is the Son of God, he should have performed powerful signs like calling down fire from heaven to destroy the Roman colonial master. And Jesus could have done similar miracle like Moses. For example, Moses parted the Red Sea later just to drown the Egyptian army after Israel crossed over to the land. Or Jesus could have performed a powerful sign in the days of King Hezekiah when Israel was threatened by the Assyrian enemy. And God could have sent one angel to destroy 185,000 Assyrian army as in the days of King Hezekiah. And these are the miracles, power signs that the Jewish establishment wanted to see Jesus doing. And therefore, to see that Jesus being crucified helplessly under a Roman authority seems the epitome of weakness. And in their heart, they are asking this question, where is God's power? The crucified Messiah was not the sign that the Jews were expecting. Hence, to the Jewish establishment, the cross is a big stumbling block. What about the Greek? Now, the Greek represent the Gentiles, the non-Jews. The Greeks were the intellectual elites of their day. And they produced many world-class philosophers. For example, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. And yet many of them, their life was so messed up. A very simple subject can be made very complicated. And the Greeks say, we want proof of our mind. We want logic, philosophical argument that persuade our mind that this Jesus is truly the Son of God. And to the Greek, debates and arguments were held in high esteem. And words matter. Winning argument to persuasive words matter most of all. And the Greek had this ingrained philosophy. Physical body is mortal and inherently evil. The soul, the unseen part, is immortal and good. And they considered the soul as being trapped and hindered by this physical body. And the body is considered a main hindrance to the soul, which is immortal. And therefore, to the Greek, the idea of Jesus, Son of God, becoming man is a regression. Why do you want to put yourself in this so-called body that hinders you? And to further say that God made flesh, suffered and died on the cross was humiliating and illogical. And so in the Greek belief system, gods were super powerful and immortal. And the God cannot die, let alone crucified and humiliated by his mortal enemies. To the Greek, God dying on the cross is simply illogical, a weakness, and a stupidity. It cannot be God, and the cross is foolishness to them. And so in summary, the Jews say, we want to see with our eyes powerful signs, miracles, and wonders. We want the proof before our eyes. The Greeks say, we want proof for our minds. We want logic, rational argument that will persuade our mind that this is true. They were both saying that we want to see with our eyes or mind before they believe. Either proof before our eyes or proof in our mind. God, in his great wisdom, would have none of that. He says to the Jews, no miracles. And he says to the Greek, no intellectual arguments. And God says to the whole world, the message of the cross, Christ died for your sin. And on the third day, he is going to be resurrected. And so today's world is not much different from then. Unbelieving people today still demand the same idols that the unbelieving Jews and the Gentiles wanted as in the days of Paul. They want God to display his power in the form of miracle signs and wonders several times over before they believe. They want to hear a very persuasive human wisdom as a proof to convince them. The world says, if I see, I believe. God says, no, you believe, and then you will later see. What they really need to hear is the powerful message of the cross, a simple message that many may consider foolish or offensive. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone, or for everyone who believes, for the Jews first, and then for the Greek. And there's another verse that salvation says that salvation belongs to God. And who is to tell God how to save mankind? Many ridicule the cross. But it is as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago. The Christ and the cross has a power that none can compare. Christ has billions of believers worshipping God regularly every Sunday, year after year. And you are a testimony to that. And the kingdom of God through the cross is advancing day by day. Why is the cross so powerful? It is because of love. The heart of the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for you and for me. And the cross is the epitome of God's love. God set aside his power. That is why when the time came for God to demonstrate his love for humanity, he set aside his power. And Paul speaks of this in Philippians chapter 2. He says how God made himself of no, Christ made himself of no reputation. He became a humble born servant. And though Jesus was God, he did not think of the equality with God as something to cling on to. Instead, he emptied himself. He gave up his independent exercise of his divine authority and power, and he became a human being. The Messiah of the world came in the flesh, in humanity, to reveal God's love. And he was born in a stable. His first birth was a feeding trough for animals. He chose not to be born into a very wealthy aristocratic family. No, he wanted to be born into a family of a powerful king. Instead, He chose to be born into a poor family who could only afford to offer 2 doves and a pigeon in the temple. And Jesus grew in an unknown village of Nazareth, an insignificant and despised village, well away from the power centers of Jerusalem and Rome. And he showed no interest in Herod's throne, no interest in Pilate's authority or the position of a high priest. And Jesus did not covet the power of the military general. He had come to demonstrate God's love. And he could not show love while at the same time seeking power. It is no accident that Jesus directed his disciple away from the vision of power to the heart of love and service. For example, when James and John, one of the inner three, requested 2 power seats in his kingdom, Jesus rebuked them for their preoccupation with power. Power can only coerce and control the outward behavior. It has no power to change the inner heart. But love has the power to rule, to influence, and to change the inner heart. Make no mistake, this is not a wimpy kind of love. It is not for the weak and the selfish. This love requires great strength and resilience. This love that desires the best for the other person and willing to sacrifice its self-interest for the best of others. The ultimate example of this love, known in the Greek, New Testament Greek as agape love, is found none other than in our Lord Jesus Christ. Many fail to see and know the power of this love. They always think of exercising power to maximize influence and control. And so for the first 300 years of the church existence, the church experienced persecution and suffering, but it responded with demonstrating the love of Christ. And they had great success in spreading the gospel to that part of the world. And they turned that part of the world upside down. And the church conquered the mighty Roman Empire through the gospel of love without even raising an army or lifting a sword. The Emperor Constantine came along, and he thought that he knew better than Christ. And he began merging the church with the state power. And the church began to use the power of the state to advance its cause. And love was replaced with power. And terrible atrocities were committed in the name of Christ. And the medieval church gained more power, but lost its influence. Later came the Reformation, and it was the first step away from power and back to the basic of the gospel of Christ. And in the modern days, many in the church today are still seeking power. As they gain more members and more finances, more money, they are tempted to regress in the power game again. And many today are tempted to move closer to the Constantine approach than the message of the cross, without realizing its power. Today we commemorate Good Friday. We celebrate God setting aside his power and coming to earth to demonstrate his love for humanity. This is the paradox of the cross. It may epitomize weakness, but yet it is more powerful than power. This is the challenge Good Friday brings to the church. Are we following the example of Christ in letting go of power? Or are we walking in Christ's love? Or are we, like Constantine, seek to merge power with love? The Apostle and the Apostle Paul and church history clearly stated what our attitude should be like Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, when Jesus and his disciples were heading towards Jerusalem, they had to pass through a village of the Samaritans. And as they came to the town, the Samaritan did not quite receive Jesus enthusiastically. And when the disciples James and John saw this, they were very upset. They said, Lord, you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did. They wanted to demonstrate God's power. But Jesus rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are, but always, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy man's life, but to save them. And Paul wrote to the believers in the Thessalonians who were persecuted, and he said, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Remember, love will make us vulnerable, will make us look weak. And with our carnal nature, we are tempted to strike back in our own strength and power. And we are sometimes tempted not to walk in love, because people may take advantage of us. We must remember, love and power has its place and timing, but love must be given its opportunity first. Good Friday is about the cross. It is about God setting aside His power and showing humanity the depth of His love. And Jesus called upon His disciples to walk in this same agape love. That's why in John chapter 3, the Gospel of John, verse 34 to verse 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. How do unbelievers know that we are his disciple? Many of us would think, by our power, by the signs, wonders, and miracles. But no, Jesus said otherwise. Instead, the Bible says that they will only come to know that we are Jesus' disciples by our love. Remember that. And this is the great mystery called agape love. This agape love is more powerful than power. And Jesus' legacy of love at the cross was life-transforming. He was the most important and influential person who ever lived on earth. Jesus never had to run for the highest political office, yet because of his sacrificial love on the cross, God the Father has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess, those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, that they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus never vowed to be a great military general, conquering nations. Yet his message of love conquered the hearts of people from all nations of the world. Empire and brute power may conquer men outwardly, but they can never conquer the inner heart. And Jesus conquered the hearts of believers of his love. He never wrote a book or song about himself. Yet more love songs have been sung, and more testimony have been given about Jesus. Whether you love or you resist him, we must all be honest and agree that he is the most impactful man to ever live on planet Earth. Every Sunday, or Good Friday, example today, or Easter, or Christmas, more than a billion believers around the world cease from their mundane work to celebrate, to worship, to honor, and to adore this God-man, Jesus Christ, who has forever changed the world. The greatest and the most powerful king in history may have some admirers and some following today, but not many. The greatest philosopher and thinker in history may have some followers, but not many today. But the humble Son of God, who died on the cross to express His infinite love, has billions of voluntary followers and worshippers today. What is more powerful than power? Love is more powerful than power. No wonder God says, but those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is far stronger than men. We can understand the cross after hindsight. And early on in history, nobody understood this, that love is more powerful than power. Even the angels in heaven do not fully understand this. Because Jesus was born and died for your sin on the cross, redemption is made possible. He now offers a message of love, repentance, and forgiveness for us to be a child of His eternal kingdom of heaven, a kingdom of righteousness, joy, love, and bliss. And not to receive Him and His kingdom is to end up in eternal damnation after life on earth. Either you are in God's kingdom of heaven or you are in the devil's kingdom of hellfire. No middle ground. Either you are for Him or you are against Him. You cannot be neutral. Either you receive Him or reject Him. But make no mistake, in Jesus' first coming, He came as a suffering servant on the cross. In His second coming, He's going to come as the Lion of Judah in glory. His power and authority will be on full display. And the second time when He comes, He will not be as a babe in the manger, but as the almighty sovereign Lord of the universe. And for those who have rejected His love, they will experience the full brunt of His wrath. The Bible prophesies that on that day of God's wrath, it will be horrendous, beyond description. People will cry out to the mountains and rock, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 6, verse 16. And the Lord Jesus will reveal Himself from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not receive and obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And they shall be punished with eternal destruction, isolated from the presence of God and the glory of His power. And we can receive His love and forgiveness today while we are alive. Avoid the wrath that is coming. What is so good about Good Friday? Jesus, the sinless, died for the sinful humanity. Jesus suffered God's wrath on our behalf for our sin. And Jesus became the perfect substitute so that forgiveness and salvation can be granted to humanity. Christianity is not about what you have done. It's about what Jesus has done on the cross for you and for me. It is not how good you are, but how good Jesus is. Not only it is good on this particular day, it can be good forever. Those who believe in Christ can enjoy eternal life of bliss, blessing and joy with God in the kingdom of heaven. And may we all look towards the day when we will spend eternity with God in heaven. And this is made possible because of the work of Jesus on the cross on Good Friday. And so, brothers and sisters, be eternally blessed because of this Good Friday. Amen. Amen. Can I get the musicians to come forward and we'll prepare our hearts for the communion. Today is a very significant day. We commemorate the death of Jesus on the cross. And the night that Jesus was betrayed,
He took the bread and he gave thanks. And he broke it and then says, "This is my body broken for you and for me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. He says, "This is the cup, the blood of the new covenant. Take this in remembrance of me." And we remember on the cross, the symbol that you see right in front of you. Blood coming from his body is for you and for me. He purchased you with his precious blood. We cannot comprehend this love. Why would the Almighty God of heaven would become man and die for a miniature creature of humanity, a speck of dust? We look at the universe. Incomprehensible love of God. And he says that not only do we remember his death, we have to claim his coming in glory and power. He will come again. All the world events that is happening are converging towards the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And so we look towards that day. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Jesus not only died, but on Sunday, going to have a message about resurrection. Because he lived, because he was resurrected and he lived, we all will be resurrected and live as well with a glorified body. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this emblem, lest we forget. So I get the brethren, to brothers and sisters, to distribute this emblem. If you are non-believer, let the cup pass by you.